Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shudva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Svinvatante.
Shudva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Svinvatante.
Nirvishakarna Bhavaraya Harato Angatapam. Upam dvisham dvishamatam akilartalabham.
Upam dvisham dvishamatam
akilartalabham. Tav yachuta visati chitam atapatram me. Sutva gunan bhuvana sundara svinvatam te.
Sutva gunan bhuvana sundara
vishakarna vivarar harato angatapam. Rupam dvisham dvishamatam akhilatalabham. Trayachuta vasati chitamat atpatram apatrapam me. Trayachuti chitamat patrapam. Sri Rukmini said. Sutva. Hearing. Gunan. The qualities. Bhuvana, of all the worlds. Sundara, O beauty. Svinvatam,
those who hear.
Te, your. Nivishya,
having entered.
Karna,
of the ears.
Vivarai,
by the orifices.
Harata, removing.
Anga,
of their bodies.
Tapam,
the pain.
Rupam,
the beauty.
Drisham,
of the sense of sight.
Drishimatam,
of those who have eyes.
Akila,
total.
Arta,
of the fulfillment of desires.
Labham,
the obtaining.
Twayi,
in you.
Achuta,
O infallible Krishna.
Avishiti
is entering.
Chitam,
mind.
Apatrapam,
shameless.
May,
my.
Sri Rukmini said in her letter, as read by the Brahmin, O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities, which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. Please repeat. Sri Rukmini said. In her letter as read by the Brahmin. O beauty of the worlds,
having heard of your qualities,
which enter the ear of those who hear,
and remove their bodily distress,
and having also heard of your beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see. I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. Okay. Now everyone, don't look at this right now, because that will make answering what I'm going to ask you too easy. What do you remember from what we just read? The most difficult of all questions. The beauty of the world. Do you remember something? Thank you, yes. In connection with that? That Krishna is the beauty of the world. And who is speaking? She's speaking through the Brahmana. Or we can say the Brahmana is speaking. Because he's reading a letter from Rukmini Devi to Krishna. Now why has Rukmini Devi written a letter to Krishna? Now this verse explains why. But what is the circumstances? In other words, who has either read this previous part or remembers something from previous classes? What are the circumstances that have caused Rukmini to...
She's getting married against her will.
Sisupal. And what is the specific characteristic of Sisupal?
Envious
of Krishna. He hates Krishna. And she has fallen in love with Krishna. He is the avowed enemy of Krishna. So inimical to Krishna. He is the archetypal demon, actually. He has come from the spiritual world to fight with Krishna and to be killed by Krishna. And she is to be arranged. Who has arranged the marriage between Rukmini and Sisupal? Elder brother, whose name is Rukmini, against her will. And she's completely dependent. How old is she?
20.
Not 20. Less. Maybe even less. 14, 16, 12, 13, like that. 14. Someone, 12. So she's so young. She's so dependent. And this is going on. She has given her heart to Krishna. And Sisupala is a king. But yet, she loves Krishna and he hates Krishna. So what has she decided?
Krishna
should kidnap her. Yes, what else? Yes, if that she has to marry this wretched person who is inimical to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is better that she dies. She will kill herself. She is so much in love with Krishna. So therefore, being a resourceful, one of the qualities of a Kshatriya, and she is a Kshatriya princess, a warrior princess, is that they are bold. And she has taken this matter into her own hands. And what has she done? She has written a letter to Krishna saying, and we'll hear what she's saying. But ultimately she's going to say that if you don't rescue me from this terrible situation where I have to marry this demon, this person who is inimical to you, I will end my life. I will kill myself. So on one level, it appears like some type of a Romeo Juliet type of story, a mundane story, young girl. In fact, this is the subject of three quarters of all Hindi movies, practically speaking, that the girl is betrothed to someone who she doesn't love. But usually in the Hindi movie, she's of a very high class and her parents are billionaires. and she falls in love with the washerman's son or something like that. But we can be sure that as in a Hindi movie, there is always a happy ending. Everything becomes resolved. Is that true? Yes. Must a Hindi movie end happily? Yes or no? Yes, it must. Good always triumphs over evil. The two brothers who are separated at birth, twin brothers are separated at birth, and then they end up fighting each other. One is a criminal and one is the chief of police. Then they find out that they're actually brothers, and they cry, and one dies, and it's all happy, or something like that. There's like four plots only in a billion Hindi movies. Am I speaking the truth? Yes. Yes?
Yes.
But they are all, actually, they all reach their perfection. All stories, all pastimes reach their perfection in Krishna's lila, in Krishna's pastimes. Because this young girl, she has fallen in love with Krishna. That in and of itself is perfection. She has decided to give herself to Krishna. That is perfection. There is obstacles, and that must always happen. She has taken the matter into her own hands. That we have to do something. But she has written to Krishna. When we decide we're going to give ourselves to Krishna and there's some obstacle, we have to do something. But ultimately, all she can do is all we can do is appeal to Krishna, practically speaking. We do our part, we act as best we can, but the result ultimately depends on Krishna's dispensation, what Krishna decides. But she is making her appeal. And this is actually the business of a Vaishnava. Do you know what the Sanskrit word for appeal is? A prayerful appeal? I'll give you a hint. That Srila Narottama Das Thakur wrote two books. One is called Prem Bhakti Chandrika, which means the moonlight. Chandrika means the moonbeam, moonlight. Of Prema Bhakti, of pure love for Krishna. And the other book that he wrote it means a prayerful appeal. And its name is Prarthana. A prayerful appeal to Krishna. Now, when we are taught in this material world, and if you want to advance materially, you have to do it by your own desire. And if you do not succeed, it is because your desire isn't strong enough. You have to will to act. You have to push your way through the world. So also similarly, when we're young in Krishna consciousness, there is a tendency to do this, to think that we can advance by our own power, by our own potency. But in fact, what we learn as we become older in Krishna consciousness is that we are dependent upon Krishna for our advancement, on Krishna's mercy, that everything ultimately rests on Krishna's mercy. And therefore Prabhupada, he translated his first translation for the Westerners in the West of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, or O energy of the Lord, O Hare, O Srimati Radharani, O Sri Radhika. O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So what does that mean? That means that we actually do not have the ability by our own power to actually serve Krishna. Please engage me. Because one could think that, all, well, if I want to serve Krishna, all I have to do is do something. And therefore, service to Krishna depends on me. But actually, it's not like that. Because when we do something by our own power, who will be in the center? It will be me. And as long as I am in the center, it is not actually service to Krishna. But yet, we have to start somewhere. We have to show the sincerity of our endeavor. Like Rukmini Devi writing her letter, we have to show our attempt, the manifestation of our sincere desire by taking our steps, but ultimately, in fact, we are dependent on Krishna. Prabhupada also translated the Hare Krishna mantra as, please accept me. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please accept me. Accept me as what? As your servant. But it depends on Krishna. So what makes Krishna, on a simple level, if it depends on Krishna, we desire to serve Krishna, and it depends ultimately on Krishna whether he accepts us. What is it that makes Krishna accept us? Or not accept us? Or wait? What is it that makes Krishna accept us? Sincerity. Okay, sincerity. Love. Simplicity. Desire for? Yeah, that's sincerity, desire to serve Krishna. Karma, devotion, what else?
Dependence.
Surrender.
Greed.
Dependence. Greed, yeah. These are all true. But they're all not true also. Because there is nothing. Our part in the equation, our part is all the things that you said. We have to make our pratana, our appeals. It has to be really sincere. We have to really want that. Because sometimes we see that we want to serve Krishna, but we also want so many other things too. So therefore, both the positive and negative anvyatirek definitions are required. We have to want to serve Krishna. We have to want nothing else other than service to Krishna. And that is what's your name again? Yes. Hare Krishna. So that is called loyam or greed. Tatra loyam api mulam ekalam. Ramananda Roy says that this is the one price, in fact, for attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. There is no other price. Is you have to really want it. But yet, and that price, tatraloyam loyam apimuyam ekalam janmakoti sukritaya chalabhyate. Labhyate means obtainment. To obtain that price, janma koti, where is koti? He's not here. What does koti mean in Bengali, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? You see that all the time. Koti, koti. So many, too many. Koti janma. What does that mean? Yeah. So many births it takes to have that kind of focused, loyal greed that I only want to serve Krishna and don't want anything else. This is actually Mahaprabhu's teachings. And we have to go, not only do we have to go through many births. We have to go through this life, especially this life, trying to see what we actually want, what will actually fulfill us, what will actually complete us. Because everyone in this world, everyone, from the lowest creature to the topmost, the Brahma Bhuvana Loke, everyone is feeling existentially incomplete, missing something. And we try to fill up the missing part with the items of this world, such as
friends, family,
yes,
wealth.
Love, mundane love. Now let's get more subtle, even.
Sports,
yeah, that's not more subtle. But why do we like sports?
Our mind can be engaged.
Yes, engaged the mind. Why else?
Fame.
Why else? Yeah, we want to achieve something. We want. We can get fame. There's subtle things that we get too. These are called, in the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, upasakagan, or weeds around the devotional seeker. Nisidachar, kutinati laba puja pratishtari yata upasakagan. These are the subtle things that come up, and the most subtle is the desire to be known. Oh yes, he's such a wonderful, she's such a wonderful devotee. Prestige, to be recognized. But the residents of Vrindavan, they have not the slightest tinge of any other desire except to please Krishna. They don't want anything else. There is not the slightest tinge of self-interest. And therefore it is called love. Prema Bhakti. They are the exemplars of Prema Bhakti. They only care for Krishna's pleasure. This is very hard to achieve, in fact. It is impossible for us to achieve this by our own power. So on one side, we are meant to develop this intense desire to please Krishna, but removing all other desires from pleasing Krishna. So this is, on one side, the cost of serving Krishna in the way that we were talking about, of obtaining Krishna. That we have to really want it. And why does it take Janmakoti? What does Janmakoti mean again?
Too many.
Why does it take so long? What's difficult? we're attached. But why does it take so long? Because we're so... we're really attached. And not only that, we're not really sure that he's going to really take care of us. Huh? Yeah, there's difference of faith. And also we have... We keep things hidden. That we want for ourselves out of things, and we have to really give them up. And there's one way to give them up is we hear in Shastra, but we try to give them up, and then we get. It's not easy because they stick. They stick to the consciousness because so many births of materialistic desires and karma. And we have to go through life on one level. We have to go through life in devotional life. We have to touch the fire of material existence 1,000 times and get burnt each time before we say, no, I am not going. You should know, I'm not going to touch it again. I am not. Before the depth of conviction enters on that level where we really just say no, I'm not going to do it from the bottom of out. I only want one thing. So it takes time before either we become, we have experiences, but it also takes time because we have to get the positive, the purifying, because even though this may be painful, it's all I have. Until we get the positive experiences, the sweetness, we taste the sweetness of Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, of chanting Krishna's holy names. That's when you walk into the temple and you have kirtan, and we chant Krishna's names, and there's such happiness in that, and the heart, the spirits become uplifted, or we look at Radha Ballava Gaur-Nitai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, we pray, we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, or we're distributing books or doing some other service with our full attention, and it's so uplifting. But the specific example I'm giving is we're in the temple room praying to Radha Ballava, we're chanting Krishna's name, it's so nice, and you walk out of this atmosphere, and within 10 seconds you can forget everything. 5 seconds, 1 second even. This is the power of Maya. Maya is so powerful. You turn off the light and darkness is automatically there. So therefore we're meant to kirtaniya sadahari. So we're still talking about what's on our side, what's our duty, what we have to do. We go through life, we experience. Unfortunately, we don't learn everything the way that the intelligent, experienced, completely sincere souls, fortunate souls, they learn just by hearing Shastra. But we often have to touch the fire and then touch it again and then touch it again. Not that I'm suggesting that is our methodology, but I'm just, this is what I see from my experience. Because we have a weakness, and the weakness is that tendency due to the material energy, our bad habits, so many births, to conceive of our, the possibility that I can enjoy or be happy in some other way than being fully surrendered to Krishna. So Mahaprabhu has recommended Kirtaniya Sadahari because, what does Kirtaniya Sadahari mean?
Constantly.
Constantly. What will cause someone to chant constantly?
No.
Love, yes. But what else on the other side? Fear, pain, that I understanding that I have no shelter. Of course, love is the real way, because when we do something out of the stress, as soon as the stress is slightly removed, we will go in the opposite direction again. So love is the ultimate. But we have to understand, in fact, that unless I take shelter of Krishna. Unless I take shelter of Krishna, I have no hope. Which is what some of the devotees had mentioned, is that dependence and surrender. But I have no hope because my tendencies, Maya, I tend towards Maya and she will pull me down because of my tendencies. It's because of my weaknesses, my petty materialistic desires, and yet I don't want to be like this. Oh Krishna, please help me. I have no hope other than for your merciful kindness upon me. So one has to be very experienced about the actual nature of the material world, and also very what? Cautious. But even what makes, well, okay, cautious, but that wasn't what I was thinking of. It has to be very humble. That's what I was thinking of. And therefore Mahaprabhu said that was the qualification for Kirtaniya Sadahari. It's Trinada Bisini Trinada Toroda Bisihisnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya. It has to be humility. And the prerequisite for humility is, or the definition is, we understand how tiny and small we are. And we have to understand how powerful the material energy is and how insignificant. What verse in Bhagavad Gita tells us that this material energy is insurmountable? Say it. We want to hear the verse, not the numbers. What does Dharatyaya mean? Very difficult to overcome. Daivi. Why is it difficult to overcome? Because it's daivi. It is empowered by Krishna. It is divine, divinely empowered. So very difficult to overcome. But mameva ye papadyante mayam etam. Why? Yes. Very good. Thank you. Yes, but by Krishna's mercy, it can only by His mercy. So what we have to do is become humble. We have to chant Krishna's names with deep sincerity, avoiding the offenses. But still, the original question was, what does it take to bring us there, for Krishna to accept us? So this is what we do, but it is necessary, but it is insufficient. Because really, it all depends on causeless mercy, Krishna's free will. That is the ultimate point, that we are dependent on Krishna at every step. Now, how does that make you feel? Do you feel secure or frightened? Whether you feel secure or frightened that we're dependent on Krishna completely, what will that depend on? Yeah, if you know His character. And therefore, when the devotees hear that He is Bhakta Vatsalya, Atma Parjanta Vidanyata, that He gives Himself to His devotees, that above all His other qualities, that He's the lover of His devotees, and that if one calls out to Him Sakrid, one time even, He will never forget such a person. And then, that gives us a deep hope, not in our ability, but in His kindness. Knowing His qualities. So let's Rukmini Devi, of course, is not an ordinary soul. But listen again to her, the first verse in her letter, in her prayer. She's explaining two things specifically that have caused her to fix her mind upon Him. Now, what are these two things that has attracted her? First, O beauty of the worlds. What does that mean? O beauty of the worlds. Bhuvana Sundara. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes.
Also, in the end of the 10th chapter, just trying to tell all these glories of all creation springs from His
wonder. Everything beautiful and wonderful springs from Him. But not only of this world, of all the worlds, He is the most beautiful. She has never seen Him. But O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities, O most beautiful person in existence, having heard of your qualities, such as how kind you are to your devotees, how you always protect those who surrender to you. How many qualities does Krishna have that we have? 64 incredible qualities. The most, what are some of those qualities? Say, come on. Beauty, fame, yes. Wisdom. What else? What other? Clever. He's so clever. Where are these all the 64 qualities of Krishna listed? Nectar, devotion, bhakti, samatha, sindhu. So if she has become attracted to Krishna by hearing of his qualities, now what hint is in there for us? Yes, we should hear about Krishna and his qualities and his magnanimous way of dealing. Do we think that we're going to become attracted to Krishna without hearing about him? Therefore, Ramananda Roy, speaking to Mahaprabhu, or actually Lord Brahma said, Stene stita shrutigatan tanavan manobir. Whatever you're doing, just stay what you're doing, but hear about Krishna and become attracted to him. Because if one becomes attracted to Krishna, one will give his heart to Krishna. And you, because it will be natural due to the attraction. And the attraction, whatever attraction to Krishna we have, we want to increase that. Whatever spark is there, we want it to burst into flame. And if it bursts into flame, it will burn all the other attractions. Yes? But if our attraction to Krishna bursts into flame, it will burn all our other attractions to ashes. They will no longer be there. And to try to remove them without attraction to Krishna, very unlikely. The positive is powerful. So to do that, the most important thing is this hearing about Krishna. Because otherwise, unless we increase our attraction, attachment to Krishna, there's always this incredible tug of war going on within us. I know I shouldn't do that, but I want my, oh no, I shouldn't do that. I want to enjoy this and taste that. And I said, no, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. But the senses are very strong. So therefore, one prayer. But if we become attracted to Krishna, then it's also easy. So the most important thing is hearing about Krishna and the association of devotees. Having heard of your qualities, which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see. Heard of your qualities and heard of your beauty. O Lord, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. Having heard of your qualities and heard of your beauty, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you. O Krishna. This is the first thing that she has written to Krishna, her opening statement. Very short purport here. Rukmini was a king's daughter, courageous and bold, and furthermore she would rather die than lose Krishna. Considering all this, she wrote a frank, explicit letter begging Krishna to come and take her away. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written a very long comment on this, explaining some of the meanings. These verses are very deep, actually, obviously. Because, why are they deep? Because she is deep. Her love is deep. And when the love that she has for Krishna is expressed, in this case through her writing, then her writing is deep. Superficial people can only say superficial things, even if they are wonderful speakers and wonderful writers. If they are superficial, what they communicate can only be superficial. Therefore, who will be attracted to the superficial thoughts of superficial people? Yeah. And what does the Bhagavatam call them? Those who are attracted to mundane literatures because they're superficial. Crows. And after eating all their garbage, all they can do is caw, caw. Oh, it's such a horrible sound. It's so unmelodious. So after all the garbage goes in their ears or into their consciousness through their eyes or through their ears, just horrible sounds come out. Caw. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Does that make you feel happy? Or does that make you feel sad? Does it make you say, oh yeah, the commies are like that? Or does it make you lament about our own attractions to something that we already know is garbage? So therefore, Narottama Das says, Shunya, 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 Janiya, Bishakailu. That even after having heard, and even after knowing, still I drink poison. I am attracted to the garbage of materialistic life. So is that good or is that bad? It's terrible. And what happens when you see it in you? It's worse. And then how do you feel? Yes. And humble. And therefore, when we're humble, we can take shelter of Krishna. So how to change the negative to the positive is the art of one of the arts of Krishna consciousness. Because a materialistic person, because there's so many books written about how to raise your self-esteem and and not feel bad about yourself, how to feel good about yourself, but we also have a way of doing that, but not in an illusory way. The devotional way is to depend on Krishna, to not continuously indulge in thoughts about how bad I am and like that. But quickly, after understanding, get a glimpse of our insincerity, etc., we should pray to Krishna, unless you are merciful to me. Practically, I have no hope. Actually, I have no hope. And because I have heard of your qualities, Rukmini says, therefore, I can be confident that you care for those who seek their shelter fully in you. Therefore, Sharanagati, or surrender, is the doorway to bhakti. And we have to walk through that doorway. We have to place our faith and hope in Krishna. We have to hear sufficiently and purify the heart by chanting Krishna's names, by associating with devotees. Not we have to in the sense of we don't have a choice, but we have to, in the sense of if we want to advance, this is the process. We serve, we depend on, and this is something so wonderful about sticking to a service, whatever the service is. But raise your hand if you spent time like distributing books or something like that. Some what's the greatest obstacle you run into when you, or any service though, it's really the same.
Mind.
Yeah, exactly. The mind. You're out there doing something, and if you do anything day after day, you don't want to do it after a while. You have to do this again, whether it's being the temple president or giving Bhagavatam class or whatever. You have to do this again. I just did this yesterday. And the mind will say, no. And then what do you have to do? Yes, I want to serve. What do I have to do? You have to depend on Krishna. You have to pray to him for protection, for the strength, for the ability to do it. And then something good can happen, and then one gets the experience born of those Hari Baba. So late? Why? You bring a note from your doctor? But better late than never. This is right. You pushed him in first. We know your tricks. They promised me they would come this morning, but we didn't get a contract on the time. We'll work on that soon. Okay, so but it's a gradual process. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process. I've heard it said that it's a gradual process. We should go slowly. But if you can go fast, go fast. But it's a gradual process. You should go slowly. But if you can go fast and give everything, once you go immediately, do that. But you should go slowly. And we live in the tension of that. Okay, thank you. Maybe tomorrow, maybe we'll read some of the commentary of Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura. Because we could just, how long would it take us to completely cover this verse? Just look what it says. I've chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Now there's an opportunity of talking about surrender. We could also talk about household life and the relationship between husbands and wives, but we won't bother with that right now. But surrender. I get, what does it mean to actually surrender? We could speak about that. Please come swiftly. There's the pratana, the prayer. Please come swiftly, O Almighty One. Now what's the relationship between his ability to come swiftly and him being almighty? It's only someone who is... What does almighty mean? Yeah, he's only one who is all-powerful. Is independent. So if he desires, he can come swiftly, immediately, instantaneously. This is the benefit of taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's almighty. He can do as he likes. Everyone else, it's, you know, conditions apply. So she's asking him, begging him, she's trying to attract him to come swiftly, Almighty One, and make me your wife, make me your servant, I've surrendered to you. My dear lotus eyed Lord, so we could talk about that. My dear, we could talk about Krishna's lotus eyes too. Let Sisupal never touch, oh, this isn't even this verse. I read the wrong one, okay. Excuse me, forget I ever said that. Oh, beauty of the worlds, we could talk about that. For a long time, we could talk about the difference between spiritual beauty. We could describe Krishna's beauty. There are especially three verses in the Bhagavatam, one spoken by the Brahmanis, of the wives of the Brahmins, one spoken by Lord Brahma, and one spoken by the gopis, or in their meditation in the 21st chapter, that specifically describe the beauty of Krishna doing something, going into the forests of Vrindavan and wandering, mocking the ground with his footprints, while everyone is, the coward boys are singing his glories, and the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan as he's entering the Vrindavan forest are just going with Krishna. So we could talk about the beauty of Krishna, a beauty of the world. We can compare the beauty of Krishna to the beauties that's in this world that is so temporary. Then we could talk about having heard of your qualities. We could talk about the importance of hearing. Then we could talk about the qualities of Krishna. We can go through each of the 64 qualities of Krishna. Four of them are unique only to Krishna. And even Lord Narayan doesn't have those. 50 are within the living entity of those qualities that we have. But we could talk about that. And the qualities of Krishna are so attractive. Do you know any of the qualities of Krishna? What?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He's also, he can speak in every language in existence. To the birds even he can speak. He's all attractive. And then we could talk about which enter the ears, the qualities of Krishna, which enter of the ears of those who hear. And they affect the consciousness. What we hear affects our consciousness. And remove their bodily distress. It's so uplifting. Fix us in relationship to Krishna, in fact. And we could talk about that and the importance of hearing and why being in bodily consciousness must cause distress. It must. And also having heard again about the importance of Krishna's beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see. And then we can just stare at beautiful Radha Balava for a very long time and become very fulfilled in heart. Just looking, because sometimes we look at the deities and we don't see anything. We just look so mechanically. I'm very guilty of this myself so often. But sometimes we should just make an effort. I'm just going to look at them from Balava's lotus feet and look at every detail that I can see about his lotus feet. And then start working our way upward and look at the way the strands. This is one way to make the pujaris happy, that someone sees the deities and sees the devotion that they've dressed the deities with. Because they do that so Radha Balava can be pleased, but so that the devotees can actually meditate upon the beauty of the Lord and be attracted by him and gradually move up and see how he's standing all the way up in the garland, the way it's there in such a way that indicates the movement of Krishna and the beauty of the dresses and the kindness and the attractiveness of, and then his flute is there. What kind of a flute? How many flutes does Krishna have? Does he have a short Venu today or a longer? And we can actually meditate and make the darshan, the seeing of the deities, a deep, deep meditation, and also make the ministry of deity worship happy too when we see thee. Which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see. Krishna's beauty fulfills our desires to see something beautiful. It is so natural. And if we don't become attracted to the beauty of Krishna, we will become attracted to the very tiny, insignificant beauties of this world. And then she concludes by saying, so how long would it take us to speak about this one verse to our full satisfaction?
Koti janma.
I have fixed my shameless mind upon you. Oh, maybe we shouldn't speak about the shameless mind for very long, though. That's when we go to Krishna very privately. We should pray and express to him in confidence the very nature of our shameless, wicked minds. The mind's main business is attraction and repulsion. Icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bar. This is what bewilders us in this world. We become attracted to the wrong things and repulsed by the wrong things. What does repulsion mean? Dvesh, aversion. I don't want, pushing away. I push away the wrong things. I pull the wrong things. This is the shameless mind. So Krishna, please so what would be the difference in saying a shameless mind or a shameful mind? My shameful mind. What does shameful mean? Full of shame. And what does shameless mean?
Without shame.
Even though my mind is like it is, unfortunately, but yet I am not embarrassed or shameful. On the other hand, I am arrogant and proud. How is it possible that I'm still proud after having lived with myself in this body and mind for 60 years that I can remember? How is it that I'm still proud? Because I'm shameless. This is the power of Maya to make us proud despite everything. And in Kali Yuga it is said, even, what is it, I don't remember if it was Shakespeare or whoever said it, even a pauper, well, he didn't say about Kali Yuga, but even a pauper, a poor man, is proud of his penny. Where does that come from? But it's certainly true in Kali Yuga, everyone is so arrogant and proud. And I'm included in that, in the category of those who are members of the class called everyone. Yeah. And I see it in others and I don't see it in myself. Shameless mind. I hide it well. But I know. But I've fixed my shameless mind somehow or another, despite the fact that I'm shameless. Somehow or another, I have fixed my mind upon you, O Krishna. And therein lies our fortune. And to the degree we can do that is to the degree that we are fortunate. If we could become convinced on that one simple point, that the degree that we can develop our attraction or to speak of love for Krishna, to that degree we are fortunate, and nothing else defines fortune in this world. If we actually believe that, we're convinced on that one point, how that would change our life. Okay, we'll stop now. Only a few moments left. For any questions? Any moment questions?
Your Grace, we have a saying, damned if you do and damned if you don't. I've heard this used also by God Realized people. And I've experienced it myself.
That's not a Krishna conscious. Well, that has to do with the material world.
Well, we feel it Well, feel that if you're having a bad day, you feel it in the spiritual, if you say, Krishna, you know, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. If I chant, I'm still cursing this place. I'm not realizing how fortunate I am.
So just keep chanting.
But you can't chant because you just spiral downward. And
but just keep. But here's the point. This low self-esteem and mental problems is completely different from humility. To see one's own faults and insufficiencies, non-sufficiencies, and to think about them all the time is not humility. But to quickly, as soon as one recognizes, acknowledges one's fallen condition, to turn to Krishna, and only turn to Krishna, not turn back. The mind may want to turn back always to thinking about how bad I am. But then you're only thinking about who? Yeah, so that's not Krishna consciousness. Nor is it humility. But rather what we should do is chant. And not, I only depend on you. I don't trust my rascal mind. We have a trust of our rascal minds, but it is rascal minds. And we should chant and not stop. And we won't be able to do it. And when you realize, oh, I'm not doing it, maybe it's only once in a year, or if we're get more of a taste, maybe twice in a year, or once a month, or once a day, or once an hour, or once a minute. But soon as we understand, look what my mind is tricking me again into this, giving me so much pain and misery. And when you're dealing on the mental level, it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. But when you take shelter of Krishna, it's blessed if you do. So whenever we come to some consciousness, we chant Krishna's names and ask for his help. And that's wonderful how much we can do that. That's the blessing of misery. It turns us to Krishna. That's why it's rough on the demigods. Because they're so happy. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. So turn bad karma into the greatest blessing by taking shelter of Krishna and holding on tightly to his lotus feet and not letting go. It's not easy. The amount we succeed in our life depends on Krishna even, but we should do our part. That's the point. Any other? Oh, we're past time. And since this isn't a pastime, everyone has things to do, we'll end. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.